and welcome to the Methodist Podcast, published on the 26th of May, 2022.
One of the callings of Methodists is to serve by challenging injustice.
The Walking with Micah project is exploring what justice looks like. And in this week's podcast, we hear how Methodists are sharing the stories behind some precious objects to help them explore their own justice journeys as part of an exciting new campaign, My Justice Journey.
We'll be learning about the history of justice in the Methodist Church.
And hearing a few of those fascinating stories behind the objects people have chosen to illustrate their very own justice journey.
The My Justice Journey project is part of Walking with Micah, and that's being coordinated by Rachel Lampard.
The Walking with Micah project is a lot of it's about listening to all sorts of different people and different stories. And one of the things we really want to listen to are the stories from our heritage, our very rich heritage of justice within the Methodist Church. So Walking with Micah has been working with Methodist Heritage to look at the stories that we have both in the past and also our present stories that have helped shape our journey and form us as people of justice. So what we're encouraging people to do is, as individuals, to think about an object, to think about an artifact that says something to you about your experience of justice or injustice, something that has driven you or inspires you or formed you in your commitment to justice. And what we're asking people to do is to share it on social media with the hashtag MyJusticeJourney, and share a picture, and then to tell something of the story and why for you that symbolises justice, what that means to you, what justice looks like for you. And the hope is that we'll gather a whole load of people telling their own individual stories of justice, but also bring together stories from Methodist organisations, All We Can, Action for Children, Methodist Homes, from churches who also have had a commitment to justice over the years, and also from heritage sites as well, with the long reach into our past and all the kind of the resonant stories that we have from justice there, and bring those together, those stories of past and present, showing that this commitment to being just a justice seeking people is something that we've been sharing over the past couple of centuries.
Rachel, tell me about some of those objects that you've discovered within the Methodist family that illustrate a justice journey.
There's a whole range of things. The one that All We Can might be telling us about is that justice looks like a bike. And those of you who are aware of the All We Can campaign will know why a bike can be so liberating for so many people. Methodist Homes might tell us about their founder and show us a portrait of their founder and the response that was made at the time of the setting up of Methodist Homes towards vulnerable elderly people, and also what the challenge for justice is that we have nowadays in terms of the response to the needs of older people in our own society. One of the items that's really stayed with me is a number of napkins that I saw being embroidered and painted and drawn upon when I went to the Methodist Women in Britain conference a few years ago. We'd been talking about food poverty, which is another, that's still a very relevant subject. And in response to that, women from across Britain each had a napkin, and they created a beautiful gift for their MP, saying why they thought it was important that people should be able to eat and should be able to afford to eat. And some of them designed the most beautiful messages of invitation and commitment. And some of them then went and delivered them to their MPs, and the MPs had them up on walls. And I've got lovely pictures of that. So I'm hoping that we might see some Methodist women in Britain digging out pictures of their napkins and sharing those with us as well, because not just Methodist women, but Methodists have really for a long time been committed to the needs of our local community and the need to make changes that will affect everybody that will bring about justice for everybody. And one way that we can do that is by talking with our MPs and maybe even embroidering beautiful napkins for them. There are lots of individual stories as well. One of the ones that's very strong for me is a story about a brooch that belonged to my great grandma, Jane Ann. Jane Ann was, she left school when she was 13, and she went and became a servant, became a housemaid, the lowest of the low. And she went to the big house where the lady of the house called her into the drawing room and said to her, I call all my servants Mary. And Jane Ann said to her, imagine this 13-year-old from Derbyshire, my name is Jane Ann. I have been baptised, which was incredibly brave of her. And she didn't get sacked. And she was called Jane Ann after that. And I like to think that all future servants were called by their real name. But for me, it's a tiny story, but it's part of my personal history. And for me, it's about justice, because it was about somebody taking a risk to speak out for something that was right, a real personal risk. And it reminds me of the courage that it sometimes takes to speak out and to act for justice. And it also reminds me that we mustn't forget the names and the faces of people who face injustice and who take that cost amongst themselves, upon themselves sometimes to speak and act for justice. Jane Ann was just 13 years old, but 100 years later, she's being talked about on the Methodist podcast. We've got to remember and name the people who stand up for justice.
If people want to view the objects and the stories behind them, and they may have objects that they want to share that illustrate their own justice journeys, how do they do that?
This is a social media campaign, really. So what we're inviting people to do is to take a picture of your object and then share it on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, on Instagram, with the hashtag #MyJusticeJourney. Share the picture and then talk about it. Talk a little bit about the object and talk about particularly why this for you represents justice. So for me, Jane Ann's brooch is about the dignity of all God's people because we are created in God's image. She said, I have been baptized, and that's what gave her dignity, and that's where the justice was. So tell us something about why for you this object represents justice. So we're encouraging people to share that on any social media platform, and we'll try and gather those together and draw together this big picture of what justice looks like across the Methodist Church. So those will be the individual stories, and then we'll have stories from heritage sites and churches and organisations, and we'll bring all those together as well.
Justice is in the DNA of Methodism. And so I asked Sarah Hollingdale, the Methodist Heritage Officer, how justice became such a defining theme for the Methodist Church.
Well, I think really justice is inbuilt into the Methodist Church, and I think it's there right from the origins. And I do think that a lot of that is to do with the way that John and Charles Wesley were brought up, particularly by Susanna. I think the way that she raised her children, with the girls getting as good an education as the boys, which was unheard of for the time, started them off with this sense of equality and fairness. And I also think that the way that they were raised with the issues with their father being absent for long periods because of being in debtor's prison probably also sparked a lot of the concerns about justice and welfare and what justice really meant. I think that personal experience fueled their later work for justice, and that has then led to this amazing legacy that we have today as a church.
What examples have there been of when justice-seeking Methodists have made a difference?
Gosh, there are just so many amazing Methodists who have worked for justice. I think we know about some of the big names. We know about some of the work that the Wesleys did for prison reform. We know that Methodists were key in the fight against the enslavement of people, all of those big things. But actually also some of the people working on a slightly smaller or more local scale are the things that I think we forget but are really inspiring for us as Methodists today. So I think about people like Timothy Hackworth, who was a railway engineer, who the whole way that he worked was to try and make sure that the railways worked for normal people, that they were as efficient as possible. And because of his Methodist beliefs, he gave away his inventions because he wanted people to benefit from them. Or I think about people like Hannah Mitchell, who fought for social reform. Or at the moment, I'm doing this really interesting piece of research into the Methodist architect Elijah Hall, who worked on Methodist churches. He did work at Wesley's Chapel in London. But he also worked with Octavia Hill, one of the founders of the National Trust, to create social housing and improve the living conditions of the poor people in London. All of these people were just working in their day-to-day lives, but making sure that where they were, what they were doing, they were living out those principles of justice.
I spent many years in East Anglia, and we have East Anglia has an incredible history of social justice and reform, particularly with the farmers. I read a wonderful book called Revolt in the Field, all about Methodists being amazing, and particularly with the trade union movement that really sprung up, which has got big Methodist roots, and the work that happened in East Anglia, I find absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, and I think those big movements, they made big differences, but it was individuals working together with that common good. You know, I think about something like John Wesley's New Room in Bristol. That was the first purpose-built Methodist building in the world. And the reason it was set up was not just as a place of prayer for Methodists in the city, but so that they could provide schooling and medicine and look after the people in their community.
There have been some amazing Methodist movements that have really transformed justice. For example, Action for Children, what we know now as All We Can, Methodist Homes for the Aged, they all saw a real need for social justice and made a transformation. But Sarah, I'm really challenged by what you said, in that individuals can make a difference, because that is the biggest and most important message that we could possibly hear right now, is that one person can change the world, one person can make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Those huge movements are so important. But then I think it's easy for us to distance ourselves from them and sort of let ourselves off the hook a bit and think, well, it's a different time. It's too big for me. And actually, God calls us to be working where we are. And for some of us, that might be doing those incredible, huge things. But for others, it might be like Timothy Hackworth inventing one thing, or transforming one workplace, one factory, one street, even like Elijah Hall and Octavia Hill. And those small actions can ripple out, and we don't know the kind of effects that they can have.
Although this is a podcast, I know you have in front of you some wonderful artifacts that you're going to share with us about the wonderful project called My Justice Journey. Describe them to us and tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, so what's really wonderful about the My Justice Journey project is that it brings together artifacts and stories from all over the connection, from our museums and individual Methodists, and bringing together, and some of them share kind of common themes and others a unique personal story. So it's a really lovely mix. Some of my favourite artifacts that are being shared as part of the project kind of encompass that range. So we've got someone who's sharing their Motability car, for instance, and their access to that Motability car allows them to get around and have independence in a way that they might not otherwise. So that's really personal. But then we have other things like at Wesley's Chapel, the quill that John Wesley used to write to William Wilberforce. And the last letter that we have that he wrote was to William Wilberforce, encouraging him in his fight against the enslavement of people. So really lovely range of huge things and then very personal things, that full range of what justice means to Methodists today.
And what challenge would you give to some of our listeners to get engaged with Heritage and My Justice Journey?
I think that justice is a really interesting way in to thinking about the Methodist Church. I know that the first time I went to a Methodist church rather than a church of another denomination, the thing that struck me most was that justice and a heart for social justice was really at the core of what that chapel was doing. And they were worried about welfare reforms, which was one of the kind of the prominent concerns of that time. And I couldn't believe that people were fighting so strongly for something that didn't necessarily apply to them personally, but that heart for social justice was that important to what they were as a church, who they were as a community. So I think that justice is this really interesting way in to think about what are we as a church today? What is there that you might see shared as part of the My Justice journey that might be a story from 200 years ago about a Methodist thinking about what justice meant to them. And does that relate to you? Where are the correlations for you? What inspires you about the artifacts that they're sharing? The stories from 200 years ago are just as interesting and inspiring as the stories from 2 years ago.
Sarah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for lots of interesting information and sharing your artifacts with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So here's a question. As we're talking about My Justice journey, what artifacts mean something to you? What's your object? Mine? I had to think long and hard, but eventually I decided it was my old JMA medals. They instilled in me the importance of generosity and giving and how that is a critical part of justice. If you don't know what JMA is, it stands for Junior Mission for All, and it was a great way of teaching children and young people and getting them into the habit of charitable giving and fundraising. So you were given a book and a collecting box, and church folk would commit to giving you 2p or 5p, 10p, £1 a week, whatever, each week after church. And you'd go round after a Sunday service, and then you'd ask Brian or Mary for the 2p that they'd promised to give every single week. And then all of this money was collected and given to overseas work within the Methodist Church. And then to celebrate the money raised and the achievements of these great young people, a small medal was given with a lovely ribbon. And once you'd received that, for many years you'd get a bar in the shape of a leaf with a year inscribed on it to attach to the ribbon and the medal. Eventually in the 90s, the leaf with a year inscribed changed to a rainbow scheme, and we still have that scheme now. Rainbow. It's amazing. On the JMA Sunday, when you received your new bar or your new rainbow medal, everyone in church would wear theirs from when they were a child as well. It was magical. In my latest staff meeting, we were talking about My Justice journey and what artifacts meant a lot to us. And so I shared that it was my JMA medals. And then the Reverend Tony Morling, who was a Methodist minister with me here in Jersey, told me the most fascinating story of someone he did some pastoral work with. And so, with the full permission of that man at the heart of the story, Tony tells us this astonishing work and the impact of JMA.
Well, it's a story of origins, in a way. It's a gentleman I've got to know who's got a real passion for championing the underdog. And I asked him why he did it. And he started to recall that in 1947, in a Yorkshire Methodist chapel, he was invited to start collecting pennies for the Methodist Missionary Society, which some of us remember as
JMA.
JMA. Do you remember those,
Yes, I still have my JMA medals.
So do I. So do I. It's on my desk on my right-hand side. And this gentleman, who was from simple beginnings, started to collect, but his dad said to him, if you're going to start, you can't stop, because he said this is a lifelong pattern of giving. So he did start to collect. Over the years he got 10 bars.
Yeah.
He's still got the books, he's still got the certificates, and he's still got his medal. Now, this gentleman, in time, became a businessman, succeeded, and never forgot the importance of giving, and particularly looking out for the underdog. So I met him at a charity event, which he has generously supported some of the work. And we just got chatting, and I said, why do you do it? And he said, because of my JMA medal, my certificate, that origin, the importance of giving. So I said, I've got mine. So we kind of swap photographs, become friends. Now, the extraordinary thing is that he is now OBE for his services for charitable concerns, particularly for children, vulnerable children. And his foundation every year gives in excess of £1 million to help underprivileged children have a better start in life. And it's because of that JMA collecting in his Yorkshire chapel all those years ago.
It's a fascinating story that something that many of us, if you're a cradle Methodist like myself, I remember going round after church, nagging people, can I have my 2p?
My lady that I used to give it to was called Miss Allen. I can see her now. And she used to have this little red table and used to collect all the pennies. But there was something about, as a child, being taught that the contributions that you can make do make a difference. And in those times, it was probably pennies, wasn't it? It was, you know, but bit by bit you collected. But the principle of giving continues. And so for my friend, that's become a lifelong pattern that began as a child and has never been forgotten and has made a profound difference to many, many, many people's lives.
It's an incredible, powerful story that that act of giving, particularly from JMA, it's something that stays with you for your entire life, and his whole business and his whole life has been transformed by JMA.
I think it is, and it's he would say it's about being a champion for the underdog. It's about making the difference that you can in the best way you can. It's looking out for one another and being decent and kind. And I think, you know, that old text in Micah, what does the Lord require to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly, is something that he's embodied and continues to. So I'm really impressed and enriched by meeting him and knowing him, because clearly, you know, he's been very successful in business, but he hasn't allowed that to extinguish that instinct from childhood about the power of giving. And also, when you do give, I think he would say you gain so much, and he does it with a really generous heart. So £1 million every year given freely began in a Yorkshire chapel in 1947.
It's inspiring, and this podcast is all about justice and our justice journeys. And I'm really, really captivated by that word that you used, champion. Mm. You're a champion for change and the underdog. And that is just, it's another way of saying justice, but it's a much more, it's, I find it quite relatable in a very, very different way.
I think you're right, Jenny, and there's a Bible, there's the Justice and Peace Bible, where they underline every reference in Scripture to justice. There's over 2,000. And one thing we did actually in the island 5 years ago, when the new intake of politicians arrived in our state's parliament, we were given permission to place a copy of the Justice and Peace Bible in the pigeonhole for every one of those politicians, simply because somehow those words can speak to our heart and the way in which we then choose to live.
Who knew that a small artefact of a JMA medal could bring about such transformational change to one person, to a business, to thousands of people's lives? A JMA medal, who knew? Yeah.
Dan is an agent of change youth rep with Regenerate, working to tackle injustice. When Dan applied for the role last year, they recorded this video to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Dan and I am from York. I am going to be one of your agents of change reps. I am currently a one opportunity intern and I am a Sunday steward in my local church as well. I decided to be an agents of change rep to help young people and disabled people get access to church and find out about God. I also have several disabilities, and that's another reason why I wanted to be a rep. So, my object is the wooden cross I got recently at my confirmation service. I have to admit, when I look at it, it reminds me of where I started out to where I became now. My confidence started, and then I So at our local church annual church meetings, they were looking for a Sunday steward, and I said, I would like to do that. So I started doing that and asking for help if needed, and asking the preacher, of course, what they wanted. And then during quite recently, I spoke to my local MP, Rachel Maskell, and about climate change. And I also talked to her about Blue Badge parking in York.
Dan, why did you choose that cross to be the object for your justice journey?
It reminds me of the journey I came where I started to where I am now, and the nervousness, the just things I went through at school, which was really difficult because people didn't understand me and treated me really badly. And when the day that I did my confirmation service, one of the speeches, one of the church members spoke, made me feel really, it made me very happy. And that, because most of the people at my local church has known me since I was very tiny, because I've been going for an incredibly long time. And they were talking about, they were talking a bit about how I, from where they, when they first saw me to where I am now, they were really happy with the progress I have made over the years. They said, we're a bit like your second family. See the disability side, they don't see anything, they just see me and see the passion I have for certain things, and then they want to help me with that, and they've been getting me involved in different things, and it is really, it makes me very happy to know that they are that church is just amazing.
The Reverend Mandy Briggs is a member of the Walking with Micah reference group and an education officer at the New Room in Bristol, and she shares this prayer with us.
In a quiet moment, I invite you to reflect on your journey of justice. Who are the people who have inspired, provoked, and challenged you? What objects do you hold and treasure? What are the stories they tell of justice and injustice, of despair and hope, campaign and protest? What stories can you tell? What experiences can you share of longing for change and working to make a difference? Who do you stand with, and who has stood with you? Who have you spoken up for, and who has created a space for you to speak? What scars do you bear in the search for justice? What are your vulnerabilities, and what makes you determined to carry on walking? God of justice, when our journey feels like an uphill struggle, give us strength. When it feels like no one is listening, raise our voices. Enable us to revision the church as a place with justice at its very core. And may God, Creator, liberator, and giver of freedom, be with us every step of the way. Amen.
You'll be able to see all the specially chosen objects and read their stories shared on social media between Friday the 27th of May and Friday the 3rd of June using the hashtag MyJusticeJourney.
And you can find out more about the Walking with Micah project on the Methodist Church website.
If you have an artefact, why don't you share it with the Methodist family and use that hashtag MyJusticeJourney and share with the Methodist people what is your justice journey? Thank you for listening to this week's Methodist podcast. From myself, Reverend Jenny Pathmaraja,
and myself, Mike Ivatt.
Goodbye.